Good morning, Unity Center of Light. It's been a while. I'm Reverend Ogunholder, and I am so thrilled to be able to be sharing this time with you. I look forward to the time when I can do it in person, in the flesh, standing right in front of you like I did so many years ago when I guest spoke with you. Some of you may remember way back when I lived in the DC metro area. Well, guess what? I'm back in the DC metro area. It's been quite a journey. So before I jump into my talk, let me catch you up a little bit as to where I've been and what I've been doing, because it's very connected and provides a framework a little bit for today's talk, which I've called From Divine Disruption to Divine Abundance. So around 2015, my daughter Joy and I probably began to go through what was perhaps the most challenging time of our lives when my wife, her mom, Reverend Jennifer Holder, who some of you might know, passed away from colon cancer. And at that time when it happened, I relocated my daughter and I up to Massachusetts, where I was the minister of a wonderful loving community, Unity on the River. And I was their minister from 2015 right up till this past May. Just to give you a quick update on Joy, believe it or not, she's about to be 21 in a few months, and she is a thriving dance major at college in Chicago, and she's also got her home base in Raleigh, North Carolina. Decided not to live with me. Go figure. Kids these days, but I'm so thrilled that she's turning out to be the amazing young woman that she is and is making way for herself in life. To just show you how vibrant her life is, she still has many connections from our time we lived here in the DC area. And when she came up here a couple weekends ago, coincidentally on her way back up to Boston to do a dance internship over the summer, she was in the DC area for about 2-3 days, and I barely made it into her schedule. I was able to squeeze in a breakfast one morning, but that was it. But, you know, this is the life of a 20-year-old. I'm so happy that she's thriving the way that she's thriving. But what got me back here into the DC metro area was the first half of the title of the talk, The Divine Disruption. And if you happen to be subscribing to Unity Magazine, I wrote a whole feature about it in this issue, the July-August 2021 issue. So I've got a feature in there, and you could check it out. But what happened was I was doing church in Massachusetts, and it was going well, and we went through this experience where we realized we had to sell our building and the property that the building was located. It was no longer financially feasible for us to continue owning this property. And, you know, as you can tell, it pushed a lot of folks' buttons. There was a lot of emotions around it. And we got to a point where we were able to discern together as a community that this was the right choice for us. And we sold our building, and we closed on the sale a mere 2 or 3 weeks before the pandemic shut everything down. I couldn't have thought of a better case of divine timing of how things worked out. So like many churches, like your church, like many churches around the country, around the world, we moved our service online. It was fascinating because, you know, for years and years, churches have been talking about how do we better integrate the online experience, and turns out the pandemic pushed us into it. And not only did we have to step into the thing we feared most as a church community, but realized that, hey, church wasn't going to go away. And many of us thrived with this online experience. And as we went through the pandemic and we got to the time where it was time to reopen, Or we started having discussions around vaccines are going to be imminent, and we could start having conversations about reopening, something interesting happened within me. And before I get to that, during this pandemic time, I'd been doing a talk series on an amazing book called Radical Acceptance by Buddhist teacher Tara Brach. I so highly recommend every person read this book, Radical Acceptance. And it really was talking about how things pop up in our lives, and basically what they do is they trigger things within us. And in our effort to get rid of, resist, not feel the pain, we make choices that necessarily don't come from our highest self. And her invitation is to just stop and listen to our bodies, listen to our hearts, listen to what's happening when we feel this trigger and we feel this pain, and turn within. And for a lot of us, the pandemic did that. For a lot of us, the pandemic was perhaps the first time in our adult lives when we were forced to stop, to slow down. And for some of us, we lost our jobs. For some of us, our jobs were on hiatus. For some of us, all of a sudden, we're forced to live 24/7 with other people in our lives. And lots of stuff got triggered. The uncertainty around where this pandemic was going to take us, the pain and the trauma of people close to us becoming sick and dying, and you know, the collective angst of the hundreds of thousands of deaths that were occurring over the course of the last year and a half. So all of this was weighing on us, was weighing on me. And I think it weighed on me heavier than I realized, because when we began to have a glimpse of the beginning of the end of the pandemic and things began to reopen, rather than being jubilant and joyful, I began to realize I was feeling this angst, this discomfort, this unease about the prospect, and it really challenged me. I was perplexed, right? Because we hadn't met as a church community in person for months and months, and this was, you know, the possibility of coming back to that. Why was I not happy about that? And I followed the advice in Radical Acceptance. I stopped, I paused, and I just spent time sitting in that discomfort, sitting in the pain that discomfort was causing, to see where it would lead me rather than just brush it aside. And what it led me to finally after a few weeks is a realization that as we were beginning to have conversations about returning to normal, is that I didn't want to return to normal. I didn't want to return to church normal. And what I meant by church normal was, you know, if you think about it, on churches on Sunday mornings, right? We're there for a few hours. And in that few hours, right, we pack basically the vast majority of what church life is about. Spiritual inspiration, spiritual education, spiritual community and connection. We pack that all into this like 2-3 hour span. And, you know, if you got a workshop after church, just tack on another hour and a half to 2 hours on top of that. And those of you who've been ministers, who've been main volunteers in your church, you could probably relate a little bit to the exhaustion of that. And we maybe didn't have to handle and deal with all of that exhaustion during the time of the pandemic. So it was occurring to me, I didn't want to return to that. And trust me, I felt for many weeks after that realization guilty about it. I felt like I was letting myself down, my career down, my community down, and the realization of maybe this was not church ministry, was not my path anymore, brought up a lot of fears and questions. Does this mean I was done being a minister, or I was done with Unity? Like what was happening? So once again, after the realization and all the discomfort of what that triggered, I sat in the discomfort of it. I sat in the pain of those triggers and just dug deep down into what that was all about. And coincidentally, around the same time, I was having conversations around this with a good friend of mine. Some of you might know Reverend Kelly Isla, and I was saying I don't know really what this feeling is, but you know, I'm getting this clarity that church ministry is not what I want to do, and I don't know what that means and what it's going to take me. We were talking and going back and forth, and one of the things she said was, you know, I've always had this idea of creating a new like ministry experience. That's primarily based online, but I've never wanted to do it alone. And when she said that, like something inside of me just like go like, that's it. Like it landed and it landed and then triggered me even more. Right. So it landed. And then all those deep triggers and fears and old wounds came back up. Am I good enough to do this? Will I make enough money? Like, how am I going to survive? I'm about to give up a steady, pretty good paycheck to go start something that they have no guarantee will succeed. So all those fears came up. Do you know what Tara Brach in Radical Acceptance says about fear? This is my favorite definition of fear, not false evidence appearing real, even though that sort of has some validation. But here's what she says fear is: the anticipation of future pain. Fear is the anticipation of future pain. We are pain averse creatures. And when we think stepping into something will cause us pain, we don't want to do that. And that's what fear is. I was feeling the fear of stepping away from something I was pretty good at to step into something that I had no idea where it would take me. So again, I sat in that pain, sat in that discomfort until I realized, you know what? This was actually mine to do. So Reverend Kelly and I have started a new online experience. We call it Project Sanctus. Sanctus meaning holy. Project means it's a work in progress. And our tagline is let's get our holy on, because Project Sanctus is a safe, brave online space where people can come together and discover and live from their holiest self, their most divine self, the highest, grandest version of themselves that they hold to be, and even beyond that. And what you can experience when you come to Project Sanctus is we've got workshops, we got lots of video interviews with other amazing people. One of the things that we are very dedicated about and do a lot of our work around is anti-racism within the spiritual context. We have a regularly occurring anti-racism book group, and we just recently started monthly affinity groups where all people come together twice a month. All people come together and we look at some deep probing questions and have discussions. Then once a month, we also do groups where it's just white folk and just folks of color, because there's some work we have to do separately to dismantle racism. So that's the sort of work that we do. And out of my time in the angst, I actually developed one of my favorite workshops that I love to teach now. It's called Fast Abundance. And this was the process that I found myself in when that disruption happened. And I use the word disruption intentionally, because many of us sort of viewed the pandemic as an interruption to our life, right? It's a speed bump. And then at some point, we're going to get over the speed bump and just resume cruising. And as you're realizing, pandemic hasn't gone anywhere yet. In fact, it's making like a bit of a comeback in a new way. And there is no telling when our journey with this disease will be over. So our lives were not interrupted. Our lives were disrupted. It's as if we were skewed off on this alternate timeline. Those of you who may have watched Back to the Future, or if you want to be more contemporary and you've been watching Loki on the Disney Channel, like we got a new branch in the timeline, right? And we don't know what's happening. But once you branch off into this new alternate timeline, this new alternate experience, you're not coming back to the main one. You have to co-create this new experience as we go on. So this is what's happening. And I realize that I personally can go back to that old timeline. And some of us know what I'm talking about, right? We realized that the pre-pandemic life and experience, whether it was overwhelming and there was too much hustle and too much grind or whatever, we don't want to go back to that. And some of us struggle with the guilt around that. Are we saying that's not, you know, whether it's a family or job or whatever, that wasn't good or that I made the wrong decision around that? No, it doesn't mean any of that. What it simply means is that we're existing in a new paradigm, and sometimes new paradigms require us to change and evolve. Over the last year and a half, many of us got clear about what's important, what's truly important. Some of us butted up against the fragility of life and realized that yes, life is, we know we can die at any moment, but for many of us, that was an abstract thought. Now in the last year and a half, it became very real. Some of us lost loved ones. Some of us were ill and almost died ourselves. And we realized, you know what? We gotta do life a little bit differently. And that's okay. And I was very fortunate enough to be able to shift, after it scared the bejesus out of me, to shift into this new experience. And what got me to a shift was looking back at years and years of abundance courses that I've taken. And you know, if there's an abundance course to be had in Unity, I probably took it. Starting all the way back with the OG 40. Remember 40? Tithing your time, talent, and treasures. I used to joke that 14 means four times, because this is many times as I needed to take it to really get it or make it through the whole program, because 12 weeks was a long time. Too long, if you ask me. But anyways, I took 4T, Keys to the Kingdom, Mary Manon Morrissey's course, the names escapes me right now. I mean, if there was a prosperity course, I took it. And as I looked back on these, there was always this element of them that left me a little unsatisfied. And I realized part of that was that for most of them, the focus sort of always looked outward. What am I going to manifest? Right, when I truly understand who I am as an abundant being, what am I going to manifest? And for many of us, at least I'll speak for myself, I'll throw myself under the bus, but there's room for all of us. I'll throw myself under the bus. Is that my focus kept being on the outer and not so much on the inner. And I realized that in order to experience the outer life I wanted, all my intention had to be on the inner transformation and forget about trying to manifest anything. Manifestation was not the point. Manifestation was the outcome. And if I truly focus on the inner transformation, the inner work of living from the consciousness of abundance that I am, that God is, then I didn't have to worry about thinking about what I wanted to manifest. I was just led in that direction. I made choices from truly getting in touch with my abundance, and my choices led me to experiences which were what with the way I wanted my life to be. So there were four states of being that I was able to ground myself in. And that's the acronym. It's called FAST, FAST Abundance. FAST stands for forgiveness, acceptance, service, and trust. Forgiveness, acceptance, service, and trust. Forgiveness I looked at as totally loving those wounded parts of myself, right? And part of this came with the acceptance, accepting that sometimes I had thoughts of unworthiness and unforgiveness, realizing that I had thoughts of sometimes not being good enough, and that goes all the way back to some of my earliest childhood wounds. Many of us are still carrying around and living from and making choices from and being triggered those childhood wounds, consciously and unconsciously. Right? And often our response is to let's just ignore them. No, heal them. And the way we heal is to love. Okay? Charles Fillmore talks about love as the great harmonizer. Harmonize means to bring together. And if you think about it, a wound is a separation, a rupture. Right? And when we heal a wound, whether it be, you know, if we have a cut and to heal that wound, no matter how deep that wound is, it's to bring it back together. So harmony, love, in order to heal those wounded parts of ourselves, we have to love those wounded parts of ourselves. And that's what I look at forgiveness as. Okay, the self-forgiveness, loving the wounded parts of ourselves, accepting ourselves fully, accepting ourselves and accepting what's coming up for us. It doesn't mean we agree with it, but it means we are not struggling. We are not resisting. We stop. We accept what's happening in order to see what it is about ourselves we get to uncover, unfold, and heal. One of the big questions I was struggling with was, yes, what does this mean? Does this mean I'm done being a minister? I'm done with church altogether? I'm done with unity? And I realized that my call to be in ministry, to be in service to both my higher self and to others, was still there. And then finally, trust. And this was the big one. This was the big one. And this is a little different from our power of faith. Any of you familiar with the 12 powers, you know faith is one of our innate powers. But trust was also this idea of, do I believe that God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, spirit, all that is, do I believe that it will meet me at the point of my need? Do I believe that it will meet me at the point of my need? Not before the point of my need. And this is the thing, right? This is the thing. We want assurances. We want to know that in order to meet me at the point of my need, whether that's a real need or imagined need, let me get the thing now. Let me get it in place now so I'm sure that I have it when I get there. Do I trust that when I get there, it'll show up? And as a result, I will never really be in need. Forgiveness, acceptance, service, and trust. If you want to explore these with me further, I'm actually having a workshop coming up. It's going to be two Saturdays, October 9th and 16th. The registration information is not up yet, but keep checking projectsanctus.com. In fact, if you go there today or sometime, you can sign up for an email newsletter and you'll be notified when the registration is ready for that. But October 9th and 16th, I've taught this course a few times and people are really loving the deep transformation that's coming out of looking at these things differently. But I wouldn't be here, I wouldn't be right now where I am, truly living my bliss, if it wasn't for that disruption. And it continues to be a tragic disruption. It continues to be a challenging, difficult one. And one of the things I've realized is because God is all there is, this was a divine disruption. To be clear, I'm not talking about causality here. Not some being or some entity or anything causing this. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this was a disruption that has invited us, if we are willing to make the trip deeper within and asking ourselves the big questions about who are we and how do we want to show up in the world and where are those unhealed wounds. I love to say that everything that shows up for us is an opportunity for us to show up as God. And for me, part of that is living in that consciousness of abundance and not worrying about what's going to be manifested out there. So I don't know if this new venture, Project Sanctus, is going to work out. But here's the thing I do know for sure. I know that I will. Because my focus, my energy, my attention is always going to be turned in inwards. Turning inwards to heal my wounded self, all the wounded parts of myself, to see that everything is an invitation for me to show up as God, to love myself, to come back to a place of wholeness, which means I am worthy, I am valued, and I am loved simply because I exist, and to live in that. So my invitation for you this week is to do some deep reflections around how you've been responding to the pandemic and what it's been bringing up for you and what it continues to bring up for you. And rather than rush to a quick fix, take time to pause. Accept what's coming up for you and simply allow it to take you to places of deeper healing. I invite you to take a deep breath and let's turn to a time of meditation. So if you're comfortable, I invite you to gently close the eyes, and if you want to leave them open, that's fine. Just find a spot a few feet ahead of you to gently focus on and take a moment to listen to your surroundings and all the noises in the room and what else might be going on. And if your eyes are open, take a moment to look around and see what's there and just orient yourself to your external surroundings. You now take a moment to orient yourself to your inner surroundings. Check in with your body. How is your body feeling right now? Is there any points of discomfort? Is there any points of pain? How is your body feeling? Just notice without judgment, without wishing something wasn't there. Just notice. And as you notice, first being gratitude for this vessel that continues to transport you, for this vessel that houses the individuality of your divinity. And now gently turn your attention to your breath. Breathing gently in and out, noticing the inflow and the outflow of air, and turning your attention also to those points of stillness between the inflow and the outflow. No need to breathe any faster or slower than you normally do. Just notice the breath. And at any time during the course of this meditation, if you become distracted by a sensation in the body or a sound or a thought or a memory, don't resist. Just notice that it happened. And then return the attention to follow in the breath. With each exhale, allow the body to find a deeper comfort, relaxation. Allow the shoulders to drop, the face to soften. Let's just breathe together for a few minutes. And I invite you now into a deeper relaxation by allowing your exhales to be a little longer than your inhales. Think inhaling for a count of four, exhaling for a count of six or seven. No need to count the inhales and the exhales. Just let your body naturally inhale and exhale for a little bit longer. Let's just do that and allow our bodies to find greater stillness. And in this stillness, we affirm the truth. I am abundance. I am whole. I am worthy. I am abundance. I am whole. I am worthy. No matter what arises before us, these truths cannot be negated, and our invitation is always to remember and live from them, seeing everything as an opportunity to ground us even further in them. I am abundance. I am whole. I am worthy. Let us rest in this for a few more moments of silence. Let us take a collective big inhale together, exhale with a sigh, and gently open the eyes. It's been my honor to spend this time with you. And if you'd like to learn more about me and what I'm doing, you can find us online at projectsanctus.com. You can even look me up, RevOgenholder.com as well. And I hope to connect with you again in person next time. Thank you for this opportunity for me to live my bliss by sharing with you and inviting you into the highest, grandest version and the deepest, most profound experience of yourself. Namaste.